begins now. So let me ask you this, Tausch, with these developments with Jair Alexander, again reported by The Athletic and Matt Schneidman. Let's say this falls apart.
Okay.
Okay. How good or nervous do you feel about the Packers' options at that position? Because they've got Keyshawn Nixon, who proclaimed himself CB1 capable. They went out and paid Nate Hobbs. I am a big fan of Carrington Valentine and believe he is...
Well, you said Hobbs from the film you watched is super physical, right? Is that what you said?
Just can't help yourself. Yeah.
Is that not what you said?
I did. I did say he was physical.
Yeah.
And he had an interception in the one game I watched.
I think you said super physical.
Ultra physical, maybe. And then it's Kalen King. It's Micah Robinson. Like, it is not a deep group. At the same time, I don't know if ESPN Bet or Hard Rock Casino Rockford were putting an over-under on the number of games Jair would play in 2025. I don't know what that number would be either. 7.5? 6.5?
I think it's less. There is no way that anybody up there, including Jeff Hafley, is going to sit here and say, I am banking on number 23 to be an integral part of our defense. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter all the other stuff, because I think when and if you are doing that, you're going to be disappointed. So I think you have to look at this scenario and say, do you feel great about Green Bay secondary as we sit here today with Jair not being up at OTAs when they start this afternoon or this morning? You feel like you're okay because you saw how they finished the season. Do you feel awesome about Keyshawn lining up against Amon St. Brown or whomever
Justin
else Detroit's going to put out there? I would say I would like those matchups if I'm the opposing team. And that is not a shot at Keyshawn. It just is what it is. So Jair, obviously, if he can come back and if he can play anywhere close to where he was at his peak, that would be an awesome addition. But I am not, there is no way anyone is banking on that. And I think while all the question marks are about the pass rush and everything else with this defense, I think that is a big question mark that still needs to be answered, because I think that position has been the microcosm of what we saw last year. When you're playing against, I don't want to say inferior talent, but when you're not playing the big boys, I thought everything held up fine. They had sacks. They were able to turn the football over. They did what you expect a championship-level defense to be. But when you faced a multitude of really good receivers, whether it was Minnesota, Detroit, or Philly, you didn't have the answers to those tests. And that's even with, I thought, the best performance against Philly's offense in the playoffs. You could say, well, the Rams had a beat. All right, I'm not going to fight you on that. But I can tell you this, I guarantee you, Jalen Hurts and that offense looked at it, and they were rusty, and Jalen had a concussion. There's a lot of other things that were in play.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you they're looking and say, boy, Green Bay gave us everything that we could handle on defense. But with all that said, that's when you have to measure up, is when you play those teams. And by the way, I'm throwing Tampa in this big old pot of teams that can. I'm going to throw Washington in this big old pot. They're adding people. They're mm-hmm. adding guys. Can you hold up as a secondary against not one, but two and maybe a really good tight end? Because that's the test that this group has to handle. And Jair being back would really improve those odds of being able to do that. And without him, I would say that is the biggest question mark on the defensive side of the football.
I would agree. And I just go back to the conversation I had quite a while ago with someone who works in the building who kept emphasizing that the guy is still a good player. And that sounded to me like someone who, if we can mitigate our financial risk, I still like the idea of him on my football team. And I don't know from the fiscal perspective what his open market value is. Is he more valuable monetarily to the Packers than he would be if he went out on the market now and had all 31 other teams available to him to sign him? That's the question I have, because I am assuming that his agent has done some research on that, and the reason they are open to the restructure deal, even if it's, say it's your number, $6 million, and then the rest is incentivized, I have to think he knows his client's market and realizes it's not more than that.
So, Jason, right? Did he get an opportunity to go and shop himself to teams when the
Goody said no.
Who said
he said
no?
They don't do that. They don't give agents the freedom to shop them their clients. Now, Goody has been talking to other teams all along, right? I mean, he flat out told us that he was open to trading him because they need to get something back for him if he wasn't going to be on the team helping them win games.
Sure.
Because we've invested a lot in Jair.
Right. So the thing was, nobody was going to give up a pick for someone that I think they thought that they would trade. And obviously now, the way this has played out, nobody felt strong enough to pay Jair a big boy contract, or they would have given up a fifth or sixth round pick, which, by the way, would
Correct.
Have gotten it done.
Right.
I think Goody would have been more than happy with a fifth or sixth
Agreed.
Round pick, especially if it was conditional. You know, that one would have been next year's draft, obviously, but that's
Right.
where this thing all came. Nothing came to, and as I said after the draft when we had this discussion, sometimes humility will slap you in the face. And the opportunity that you think you're still a big blanket deal in the league, and then when 32 teams don't call you, you're kind of like, well, I'm retired. Well, no, the league retired you. You didn't really retire. That happens to most of us. This is more of a, man, I'm still the guy. And when nobody is willing to trade for you or pay you top dollar, you find out real quick, maybe I'm not the guy. And maybe I have to take a step back, take a look at the big picture, and understand I need to get back out on the field and prove that I'm still the guy. Even though in my heart of hearts, I know if I wasn't injured, I would be that guy. But you know what? The league, they don't care about all that. They care about what you do and what you can bring them. And if you can't overwhelmingly do that, it is always a prove-it year. This, while we've said it's a prove-it year for Jordan and all these other guys, this is one of those years where if it doesn't go well, this will be it for Jair. This
You're
is
right.
a, you want to talk about a big boy prove-it year. Jair signs for whatever he's going to sign for in Green Bay. If he's injured and doesn't play again a bunch, he's going to be donezo. And if he can go out and prove it and play well, he will probably get some sniffs from other teams that would be willing to pay him what he is going to want, or at least closer to what he wants than what he's going to be able to get out of Green Bay right now.
Well, the possibility of him coming back, I would think, would have Matt LaFleur, if it actually comes to fruition, toasting a Coors Light in his honor, saying, hey, our defense is better with this guy on our team.
Oh, I got to send Jesse. I got a beautiful picture with my Coors Light. And maybe the most asymmetrical cloud cover I've ever seen. I'll send that over because you know it's Memorial Day.
Asymmetrical cloud cover.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Coors Light. Had a couple of those yesterday. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged. It was made to chill. Nothing better than a barbecue with asymmetrical clouds and in blue mountains on my cold Coors Light activated bottle and can. That's when I knew it was chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. Golden, Colorado.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time I've wasted.
I'm super intrigued by this part of Matt Steinman's story about him reporting to the mandatory minicamp on June 10th. And then these three words, if not before, and then the seven more words after that. Even if his contract situation isn't resolved.
Put a little pressure, yep.
So, Mike, get it moving. And help me out because you're a player rep. If I show up, say I'm Jair Alexander.
Hey, Jair. Why didn't you give Will to your phone number?
How you doing? I don't trust that weasel.
I get it.
You've been regretting it for 20 years. Hey, guys, it's great to be here. I'm ready to go. Let's go. I'm ready to do some one-on-one reps against the kid, Matthew Golden. I want to see what the kid's got. You, as the organization, cannot say, oh, no. No, sorry, we can't let you do that. Right? Like, they could stall it by saying, hey, you got to go through some testing. We got to give you a physical. But help me understand, because this, I thought, and I am, this is really an interesting story by Matt Steinman. That, to me, out of everything else that he wrote, is what really got my antenna up. Because if the contract's not resolved, why would he come in? And even before the mandatory minicamp, why would he do that? Don't you think?
Well, it's easy why he would do it. He is trying to force the Packers' hand a little bit. And again, I just don't know how much there's going to be. I don't know what the difference is. I can assure you, Jair is going to want more than what Green Bay is offering in guarantees
with
this new contract. That
yes,
I can
sir.
Assure you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he can get it, I don't know. But the Packers cannot tell Jair, you stay away. They can ask him and say, hey, this will help, you know, until we figure this out. I believe that is what's happened the last, really probably since after the draft. And I think Jair's probably like, yeah, I'll train down here. I'll go with X, wherever they were working out, and we'll do this. And all right, that's all great. Now it's getting to be that time. And I think Jair is looking at it and saying, all right, it's not really moving in the direction I want. So I need to do something, or his team is saying, we need to kind of push the ball a little bit here. Let's get this thing, let's rock it a little bit, get this thing moving so that we'll come to a resolution one way or the other. The Packers can easily say, yeah, Jair, you can come in, but you're not doing anything. Until this is resolved, players will hold in is kind of the new thing where, oh, my hammy's snug. I'm not doing anything. And in essence, what you're saying is, till you get that deal done, old boy ain't doing nothing.
Right. This is going to be the opposite.
The Packers, this is Oppo, which is weird. But you say, well, we're going to get the young guys reps. Nobody is owed any reps. You're owed, you can walk in the building, and then that's it. They can say you can't work out. They can't fine you. There's nothing else they can do. And that's, you don't want that. The Packers don't want that. Jair doesn't want that. Nobody wants that. So you come to a resolution, and I think with what Steinman wrote there, what that is telling you is it's probably not progressing at the rate and what they're hoping for, so let's get it moving. And then we'll figure it out, and one way or the other we'll find a resolution, and then we can move on with our lives.
So do you, and again, this is just purely conjecture, do you think Jair wants to be a Packer? Because,
yes,
as Matt points out in his story, he's been working out with McKinney. There does seem to be some very positive things, regardless of how things played out with LaFleur's frustration with his injury, etc. There does seem to be, he likes the defensive coordinator, he gets along with his position coach, he's got friends on the team, it's a place he knows. Do you think he wants to stay if he's given his druthers?
Yes.
And then it's just a matter of what the number has to be for him and what the number has to be for the Packers for them both to feel good about it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we will see if that comes to fruition or not.
And I don't necessarily think it's that Jair is like just madly in love and wants to be back. I think it is a combination of, I know the system, I like Hafley, I know I can play well here, they know me, they'll take care of me, and I don't think anybody else will give me any more money. So it's not just I love being a Packer, I can't imagine playing in another jersey. That's what will be said when and if this thing gets resolved. But this comes down to money. This comes down to understanding of where he's at in his career. And it comes down to opportunity. That's why this will, I think, end up working itself out.
John, via the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. It is amazing how much you guys talk about a guy who has played only half of the games that he's been under contract for. I don't understand. He's not that good. Jair Alexander will be the last player cut by the Packers, getting down to the 53-man roster.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I don't mind John getting after us a little bit. I agree with him.
I have a problem. His first sentence I agree with. It's a lot to talk about a guy that
amazing
in the last 60.
I think amazing is a strong.
That's a little sarcastic.
John. In the last.
Oh, you think he's. It's amazing how much.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was. God, it is amazing.
I don't think it's that.
Okay. I didn't understand how we were syllabizing.
They've played 68 games the last 4 years. Jair Alexander has played in 34 of them, and he has missed 34 of them. It is exactly half.
Wow.
Not a great issue.
Yeah, I like that stat. I put that one together myself. But here's the issue that I have with John's text. He's not that good. No, that's not true. He's not that healthy. He's not that available. But he's not that good. It's just not accurate.
So here's where I will, you know, ask John and you. He has not been the same player as he was. He just has not been. Is he still a good player? Certainly.
He said he's just not that good.
He's not as good as the contract that he got paid.
He got paid that contract after the shoulder injury. They paid him anyway.
I understand that, but Jason, is he as good as he was before that injury?
We're not paying you to tackle. We're paying you to cover, is what that message said.
No, you're paid.
No,
yeah, there's a new sheriff in town. This guy wants you tackling. You don't think Jeff Hafley wants his corners tackling? Come on. Has Jair Alexander been as good after that injury
as he is?
He
definitely wants
tackling,
by the way. The answer is no. No.
He has not been.
He's not that good. It's not the same as he's not an all-pro.
But I think John's point, and again, I can't speak for John. John's point is this isn't when
John.
I'm talking. When I'm talking DePoy in 20 and 21, and he's picking off Tom Blank and Brady in NFC Championship games, he ain't there anymore. He was paid on that, and the expectation he'd be better than that. That injury happened. You know, he has the injury, and they're hoping that he regained that form. And with a very few exceptions, I don't know if he ever has. And I don't think that's unfair criticism. I think it's just the reality of where he's at, because he hasn't been able to get into a rhythm either because he can't stay healthy. So that's why he's going to be taking a big-time haircut on his contract. Yeah. And so I don't think John's criticism on that is criticism of us. I get it. I understand it. But if he comes back, if Jair Alexander gets this contract worked out, and we'll tease this out, Jason. He gets this contract worked out, $6 million with a chance to earn $10 million, is Jair Alexander going to be lining up on whatever day in Sunday in September.
September 7th.
Against the Detroit Lions.
September 7th.
Is he going to be...
Don't tease us out. I got to tell you about Grubel offices, so don't tease us
all right.
out yet.
Will he be the DB1 on September 7th for the Green Bay Packers if this contract gets worked out in the next week?
Yeah. Yes, I believe he is.
Okay. My point to John is that's why we're talking about.
Well, and I get it. In fairness to John, he could get Josh Sitton'd, right? I mean, we did not see Josh Sitton getting cut in 2016. Maybe we saw it a little bit before it happened, but it's not like we went into training camp thinking Josh Sitton might get cut.
Correct.
Right?
We did not.
At the same time, to John's point about Ja not being any good anymore, if that was the case, they wouldn't be bothering to do this. They would have just cut his ass, and he'd gone already. So that is evidence that they still think he can play. And I think that's important to know.
Would they be doing that if Kalen King just balled out the second half of last season?
No, they wouldn't, but he never even got off the practice squad. Like he was called up for a game and didn't even play.
I understand, but my point is that spot is still his if he goes out and earns it.
Yeah, agreed.
You're and right. To John's question of, whoa, you guys amazingly talk about this, because a DB1 on a defense that should be championship caliber is a big blanking deal to this team. That's why it's important.
In a division filled with really good wide receivers. All right, we'll continue this conversation, or maybe we'll shift gears. Want to remind you, you just said earned. The reputation that Grubel Law Offices has been earned in over 35 years. They win for their clients who have been injured in accidents. They do such a great job. And you want someone on your team that is going to fight for what you deserve if you've been injured. And that's exactly what they do. So go to the website, gruber-law.com, or make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Spend tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate.
So this is one of the questions that I was posing that the Packers need to work their way through, and it starts today with the first of only six OTA practices. There's usually nine plus a team outing, and we'll get to maybe the questions at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. We'll play trivia next, but I am curious, Tausch, because this is what I led with in the story. Matt LaFleur has made it very clear that he thinks that with the early start to the season again, that means training camp's going to be early again. Last year, I think the first practice was like July 22nd, that he doesn't want to push the envelope and keep them for another week. So they will be done on June 12th, and then they'll report July 20th-ish. Given that the first week was in the virtual realm, and then they're cutting them loose a week early, LaFleur said that 28 out of the 32 teams are following the same format. Is that enough work in the off season, in your opinion, as a former player?
It has to be. It will be what it's going to be. And I think you're seeing more and more teams look at those first three or four regular season games, not from a preseason standpoint, but from a you're still going to have some competition. I remember, I think it was New England in Belichick's last couple years where they were still having open job opportunities for guys. You started to see Green Bay with some maybe more platooning than what we'd seen in the past. but you know, Sean Ryan and some of the other spots here, you're seeing more guys. You don't get the same amount of work. And, you know, back at the golf outing last week, you know, us old guys, I'm always amazed when you say, that's the Packers' 14th and last padded practice of training camp. And I'm always just amazed, like, I can't blank and believe that they've only had 14 padded practices during training camp. We, and this is not me being, like, over-exaggerator dude, we would have 14 in a week of padded practices. In a week of training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's right and what's wrong? I am all for player safety. I've abandoned that ship on some fronts because of the entertain me crowd, and that's the road that the union and the league has went, and I am going to jump in because I want to be entertained. But from a player standpoint, you want to be healthy, you want to be fresh, and I think most organizations now, especially with the investment level that they're doing, they're looking at it and saying, we're going to get more out of controlled scrimmages that you're seeing. I think Green Bay announced, or they will be announcing, they're going to have joint practices with two of their three preseason opponents.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, you're getting some more work. You're doing it. They're just going to be more selective with what they're doing, and it's going to be in a smaller time frame, less contact, less hitting. But I do think that makes for shoddier football, especially earlier in the season.
Let's play some trivia, then we'll get to our questions.
What do you think?
At top. What do you think?
Is it enough?
I think six practices is not enough. And I think the way the league has trended away from off-season work in general is bad for player development. And
I agree.
I think first of all, I think the NFLPA has focused more on getting guys longer vacations than they have on more pertinent issues, but that's another story for another day. I think especially for teams like the Packers.
Or Jason, as you just put that, or the league is giving you that. And
right,
you can
so they don't have to give you meaningful stuff. Right, exactly.
You're trying to throw some bones so that the people can say you're winning on some fronts. Because I'm guessing, and just reading the tea leaves, as this is going to 18 games, listening to what Roger Goodell had to say at his owners' meetings last week, and now he's getting, even though he said he was retiring after this contract, he's going to get another big fat one. You're going to see a pretty good split. The owners are looking at it saying, we're paying players too much.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the union goes back and says, well, that's just the way it's going to be, we're never going to win. I'm telling you, you're not going to win the battle. We've seen it. It's unfolded. How bad is it going to get? Because the owners will take back some percentage of pie of this big CBA, the next CBA. And unfortunately, that is going to happen.
And I would also argue that players that are young, you're making decisions on your roster ahead of time. There aren't the same number of competitions in training camp like there used to be. Like, you have to make
Zach
decisions.
Thompson in a battle.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It'll be interesting to see how much work they get done. Because you also, if you only got six practices plus two for the minicamp, maybe three, I don't know, maybe they'll go an extra.
And by the way, what should happen, but it won't, is first and second year players should probably do 2 weeks of training camp before veterans come.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can assure you, when I was a rookie or second year player, give me every rep I can get.
Right, exactly.
All these guys want to showcase. Old salty vets don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty easy. Say year three and below, you guys, unless exempted, come on in for 2 weeks. Hey, you know what? You'll probably even open up all the practices to the fans. They'll love it. Coaches will love it because they want to help develop their players. This is something, and I would bet the union would be more than happy to do this. The players would,
mm-hmm.
and the owners would say, well, we said you could take more time. All right, for that, we're going to take one more percentage piece of that pie. We want some of that good blueberry pie. That's got that one little slice of blueberry pie is worth $3-4 billion, though, now.
Greedy.
It's like a main pie. It's like when you go up to Acadia, you're getting that expensive blueberry pie.
Mm-hmm. And then you need a Venmo to pay for it. Jesse, what's the category for trivia and what caller do you want?
The long sports weekend recap.
Ooh, yeah.
Memorial Day week. It is Tuesday, Jason, in case you forgot. So,
is it wrong that I can still picture and smell that blueberry pie on the windowsill in Acadia, and when we put it in the back of our car and we opened it up and just spooned, everybody grabbed a fork and just took bites of that hot piping, fresh Maine
hot
blueberries.
Piping.
You can still feel and taste that. Is that weird that I can still do that?
No, but it's weird the way you're talking about it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
A little saucy.
Oh, so this is where you're so hypocritical.
Pie
dazzling
erotica.
Details, he says. How can I not get? How can I not be any more detailed than that?
It's not the details. It's kind of the creepy way in which you told it. It's got an American
how
pie
is that
feel
creepy?
To it, quite frankly.
Do you love the blueberry
really?
Pie?
Yeah, it's a little. It's a bit much.
You try to make everything. You have a gutter mind, man. You always are turning stuff into.
There's literally
things
that
a movie
called American Pie.
It was an apple pie that what's his face was.
What was he doing?
I don't even know what.
What was he doing?
He was.
Guessing he was talking about it, much like you are about your blueberry pie.
He was abusing the pie. No, he was not. This was the craftsmanship.
Hot
what?
Piping pie.
People are calling, and we don't even know what caller we want for trivia.
It's details, people. You want details?
No,
you tell me a picture that is painted more.
How was the crust? Was it buttery? Was it flaky?
It was flaky and buttery. Yes.
Was it a graham cracker crust, or was it more
no.
of a? Okay. See, those
it was
are
not
details.
A strudel.
Caller
it was
17
not
for trivia. Caller
it was
17.
Piping hot off of a windowsill with smoke, like with
Were
the little smoke
on
coming
the windowsill?
Out. No, it was wide open windows because it's country, baby. It is country.
Caller 17, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Time for trivia presented by Vortex Golf. I did get a rangefinder request from someone in my house, by the way, while Tausch is looking for his binos. By the way, if you want to relive Tausch's sultry description of his blueberry pie in Maine, well, that's why we have the all-new, all-redesigned ESPN Wisconsin app. Live listening, show replays, exclusive content, it's all on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Find it in the Apple and Android app stores. Trivia's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is our crew.
At the track, at the wall, jumped up. Jackson Chario brought it back! Jackson!
Hear the sound of summer right here on 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
I am really intrigued by the way Jesse describes our contestant. So let's get to Wildy and Tausch Trivia.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Let's welcome him in. Maybe this is the end of his unlucky streak. He has never won anything on Wildy and Tausch despite playing a decent amount. It is Mike in Franklin. Mike, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, maybe Vortex Golf is what changes your luck. It also changes your golf game. You'll be more accurate in your distances.
I've won on the other shows, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and Homer. Never won on your guys' show, though.
Well, maybe you should be more loyal to our show than theirs. All right, here we go. Let's go with the questions.
Oh, he can be loyal to all the shows. He doesn't have to pick a favorite.
I'm just saying, maybe it's karma, Kramer. All right, Tausch, are you participating in this or not really?
Isn't it weird? Jesse says you don't have to pick a favorite, even though he does that in his whole life.
He does. He cheers people. Even.
Yeah, I don't want to pressure Mike into having to pick a favorite because then we would be the bullies and he probably wouldn't pick us because he hasn't won anything around.
All right.
I want
Mike,
him to pick
for the first time ever, The Indy 500 hosted a special race on Friday featuring six versions of which iconic vehicle? Is it the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, the Scooby-Dooby-Doo Mystery Machine, or the Goodyear Blimp?
Oh, my gosh. I watched the race. I have no clue. I'm gonna go with the... Can you repeat that, Tal, please? That's a trick question.
I can. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
You use your pirate voice. Okay.
I won't. Oscar Mayer, Scooby-Doo, or Goodyear Blimp?
I'm going to go with the Oscar Mayer Mobile.
You nailed
good
it.
Choice. Increases your chances of winning something from Wilde and Tausch. Question two is this, Mike. Which of these stars of their respective sport is expected to miss at least the next 2 weeks with a quadriceps strain suffered over the weekend? Is it Shohei Ohtani, Jalen Brunson, or Caitlin Clark?
I'm going to go with Caitlin Clark.
Two for two.
Perfect week.
Perfect week started.
Well, yeah, now you just whammied him.
Yesterday, which school won the Division I NCAA Men's Lacrosse National Championship yesterday? Is it Richmond, Cornell, or Maryland?
I have no clue. I'm going to go with Cornell.
You know, for a guy who didn't really have much of a clue...
I'm sorry, what did I stepped on your joke?
No, it wasn't worth it.
I said Cornwell. Am I right?
It was terrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry I stepped on that.
I like it.
It was amazing.
Mike, thanks. You got all three right, which means you got four entries into Friday's drawing, which means maybe the streak comes to an end. Maybe it does. There's a chance. All right, well, we'll all find out together on Friday.
You guys are tier one, just so you know, and take care and be good. All right?
I like it. I feel better.
He laughs at his own jokes, which I appreciate.
That wasn't that good, but it was a lot better than Cornwell.
Nah, you don't get it. Which is all right.
The 11 o'clock hour, Wilde and Tausch begins in 2 minutes. So stick around for it.